On the feature today, a look back at ARPA's accomplishments and challenges from 2016.
Did we mobilize the grassroots? That's supposed to be our first mission. Was our witness faithful? Were we good stewards of what we were given? And I'd say that by God's grace, the answer to all of these questions was a convincing yes.
In the news, Arnold Viersen's Motion 47 passes in Parliament. Another conservative leadership candidate weighs in on life issues and an expansion of euthanasia in Alberta.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
The House of Commons has unanimously voted to support MP Arnold Viersen's Motion 47. That's the one that directs the Parliamentary Health Committee to, quote, examine the public health effects of the ease of access and viewing of online violent and degrading sexually explicit material on children, women, and men. The motion had all-party support in the House when it came up for a vote earlier this month. Viersen says it really was a team effort to get the issue to that stage.
I am a first-time MP, but I do stand on the shoulders of a lot of people that have come before me and have laid the groundwork for this. Like Joy Smith, for example, a lot of the researchers have been working on this for 30 years. Gail Dines, Marion Layden, these kind of people. And it was the entire network across the country who sent in piles and piles of letters, right? So all these things have to be in place. There has to be research there. There has to be a flood of emails, letters, phone calls coming into MPs from across the country, and that you have to be able to support these ideas. And that's kind of maybe the cocktail that needs to be in place.
The motion says the study has to be done by next summer. That's not really a lot of time when you consider how the parliamentary calendar works, but Viersen says he'll do his best to make sure the study is thorough.
The next thing will be to put forward witnesses to the committee and to help with the committee, and so it'll be a lot of making sure I can get the witnesses lined up to be in town on the right day.
He says it's not clear what the health committee will recommend, but he's hoping there will be a move toward, among other things, online age verification for so-called adult websites. Another candidate for the Federal Conservative Party leadership has weighed in on the abortion issue. Former Ontario MP Pierre Lemieux posted a YouTube video online earlier this month, promising to bring forward the issue of sex-selective abortion if he wins the party leadership. In an exclusive interview with Lighthouse News, Lemieux says this issue goes to one of the central points of his leadership campaign, which is a healthy democracy.
Canadians should be able to discuss within society and debate within Parliament any subject that is of importance to them in an open and respectful way. And so I just find it very inappropriate, somewhat undemocratic, that politicians will say, this debate is closed, that debate is over, this debate will not be reopened.
Lemieux went further than that, though, saying that unlike some of his leadership rivals, he'd be prepared to have a government he led actually put forward legislation on the abortion question.
The government could initiate that. That's what I'm proposing here, initiating a discussion, but it's based on input from Canadians on life issues, which would include sex selection abortions, but it could include other things as well.
We'll have a full-length feature interview with Mr. Lemieux on the January 10th edition of Lighthouse News. And finally, Alberta is expanding access to medical assistance in dying. The provincial cabinet has authorized an expansion of euthanasia to now include nurse practitioners rather than just doctors. Lawyer Albertos Palazagopoulos was one of the interveners in the original Carter case, which led to the liberalization of euthanasia law, and he says this definitely broadens the scope of the discussion.
It's not unique to Alberta. The federal legislation did include a provision for nurse practitioners to provide this. Nurse practitioners are often in underserviced areas where there are no physicians, but this goes beyond what the Supreme Court intended, which would have been in the hands of a physician.
And Palazagopoulos says this also further complicates the debate over conscience rights for healthcare professionals.
Certainly, if you're a nurse practitioner in a small, isolated area and you're the only person in town who has the ability to provide this quote-unquote service, if you have a moral objection to it, you might be in a very tough spot.
In the specific Alberta context, there are 450 nurse practitioners who are affected by Cabinet's order in council. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
Members of Parliament and elected provincial representatives will soon be heading back to their ridings for Christmas break and some time in their communities. This is a great opportunity to connect with your elected representatives and to show the love of Christ this Christmas season. Take time as a family to write a Christmas card and hand deliver it to their constituency office. Let your MP, MPP, or MLA know that you are praying for them, and make sure you do, and encourage them in their work.
And we're back on the program. This is the final program for calendar 2016, so we thought it'd be a good time to sort of look back on the year that was and look ahead to the year that's coming. Three guests for the feature interview today: ARPA's Executive Director, Mark Penninga, Mike Schutten from We Need a Law, and our grassroots engagement person, Colin Postma. Guys, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Al.
It's good to be here.
It's great to be with you, Al.
Let's start with you, Mark. Just give me some of the highlights of 2016 for ARPA as an organization. You know, we had some new hires. There were various initiatives. I read the fundraising mail-out that went out a little while ago, and it talks about the fact that our budget is over $1 million now. I mean, this little organization is growing.
It's been a really big year. A few weeks ago, I met with the board of directors, and we look back on this year, and we also asked some hard questions. Did we persevere in the face of the challenges we saw? Did we advance proactive policy? So instead of just being reactive, were we on the offense? Did we mobilize the grassroots? That's supposed to be our first mission. Was our witness faithful? It's not good enough to just be there. Was our witness actually advancing something that God wanted us to advance? Were we good stewards of what we were given? As you said, we were given a lot. Did we make good use of that? And I'd say that by God's grace, the answer to all of these questions was a convincing yes. By God's grace, we were able to stand up to the challenge. And I think especially on the euthanasia issue, even though the other side was relentless in trying to cross that line, we were able to give a principled witness right to the very end and even see some stemming of the tide. We were able to advance proactive policy with things like Motion 47. We saw that recently pass unanimously in the House of Commons. On the Trinity Western Front, on Bill C-225, on C-277, these are all fronts where we were able to advance something rather than just react. And by God's grace, we were also able to see growth in our team. We started Boots on the Ground initiative, where we have about 10 key people on the ground in various parts of Canada. So that started this year, and it's taken off well. We've added Harry Mose as our educational consultant, John Sikkema as our second lawyer, our legal counsel, and then Hannah Sikkema as our office manager there in Ottawa. So we have so much reason for Thanksgiving to see how God has expanded this team.
Mike, Cassie Amali's law took up a lot of time and energy this year, and ultimately it did not pass in Parliament. I guess that was one of the main focuses for We Need a Law this year. Your thoughts on that, and maybe take a look ahead at 2017.
Sure, yeah. As I look back to the beginning of 2016, it's quite interesting that Cassie Amali's law was not even on our radar. It was obviously a pre-born victims of crime law. It was a law that we had advocated for a couple of years already. But to see a law introduced by a courageous MP, Kathy Wagenthal, was indeed a blessing, not only to our organization, but I think to the entire country. And even though it did not pass on its first vote in Parliament, there was an incredible amount of positives that came from it. I think by the end of the debate on Cassie Amali's law, that term, Cassie Amali's law, was a household name amongst not just Christians or pro-lifers, but Canadians from coast to coast. So I think that while it didn't pass, there were many positives that we can build from, and that's what we're looking to do going into 2017. We have several speaking tours planned. One of them is in conjunction with the court case that we have in Ontario, strike down the censorship laws there that prohibit abortion statistics from becoming public. But there's other ways in which we hope to build off of Cassie Amali's law, and that is by working with Canadians to grow an acceptance of an international standards abortion law. We really believe that the time is now when we need to confront the issue of abortion head on and maybe take a break from playing around on the edges with things like sex selective abortion and pre-born victims of crime and just actually take the issue head on, to make it very difficult for members of Parliament and Canadians who would call themselves pro-choice, to make it very difficult for them to just dismiss this as, you know, we can't entertain this because it might reopen the abortion debate.
Colin, on the grassroots side, we had the Booties for Babies campaign this year. I mean, that certainly had a lot more engagement than we expected. Did it have an impact? And I guess from a grassroots engagement perspective, how do we top this for 2017?
Yeah, the Booties campaign did go extremely well. I mean, in terms of grassroots activism this year, the grassroots have been very involved. The Baby Booties campaign started as an idea about a year ago where we were just trying to come up with a new program, especially in comparison with the flag display and the success that that had. So what we did is we had the grassroots knit these baby booties with the idea that they eventually be sent to members of Parliament. parliament and to senators. And the response from that was overwhelming. Like it was seven times as much as we had originally challenged people to produce. So I think we had over 7,000 baby booties. I'm excited to see what will happen moving forward as well. I mean, so many of the other campaigns you could touch on from this past year, Mark's already mentioned a couple of them, like euthanasia, hundreds of easy mail letters that were sent out, phone calls to members of parliament through the various campaigns, Molly Matters, Motion 47, you know, hundreds of signatures on petitions that were put together in the last couple of months as well. Even talking about just local activity on the ground too is really exciting. And that's one of the neat things about my job is I'm able to be in contact with people on the ground on a regular basis to hear some of the neat ideas that they're doing in their communities that are making a difference. You know, whether it's local dinners or speeches or whether they're screening some of the newer documentaries like the Hush documentary or Over 18.
Mark, back to you. Looking ahead to 2017, what do we see on the horizon in terms of issues and initiatives? I mean, Mike already talked about the fact that the We Need a Law side is going to get a little more focused on the central issue rather than some of the peripheral bills. What about ARPA in general?
There's some things that we can see already now because we're working on them or we can anticipate them. So in the courts, we know that Trinity Western is being appealed all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada. So that's a big one on our horizon. But then we also can smell some concern, some anxiety coming out of provinces, especially in Alberta. For example, with the education system in Alberta, there's a possibility of legal action being initiated there. And then euthanasia, it's not done. In fact, Dying with Dignity and the forces that are trying to promote as expansive a euthanasia regime as possible, they're hard at work. And that's something where we're also seeing it both in the courts and in parliament. There's going to be some big challenges. The spanking law has reemerged again in the Senate. And this is something that we also know has the support of our prime minister. An effort to criminalize parents who use physical discipline. That's probably going to be a big issue. And then we've got gender identity. That's Bill C-16. We've got C-277, the palliative care bill. One exciting initiative that we haven't talked about yet, but it's a bit of a change for us. That is that usually this would be the year where we don't have a God in Government conference because we've done that every second year. But this year, we for the first time are going to do a God in Government youth edition. So this is where we're going to invite young people from grades 11 and 12 from across Canada to apply. If their application is successful, they'll be one of about 24 students to join us in Ottawa and take part in something very similar to what we do in the alternate years with adults. That would involve training, equipping, but then also actually sitting down with our lawmakers, bringing a biblical perspective directly to them. This year.
We're running out of time here, but I guess I'm just going to throw this open. Just general discussion in terms of ARPA's impact and maintaining the momentum. There's two federal parties that have leadership contests coming up in 2017. I know we're nonpartisan, but is there any inclination that we might want to get involved there somehow to sort of promote the discussion? Just generally, what else might we want to look ahead to for 2017?
As far as the leadership campaigns, I think that we would take the opportunities as they arise if leadership contestants are speaking about either the 10 issues that ARPA deals with or the topic of preborn human rights, then we would certainly want to make our supporters aware of that and give them an opportunity to get involved should they be inclined towards that. Further though, to kind of setting the stage for 2017, I think it's going to be important that as ARPA Canada, we start to work with our supporters, not just to develop an advocacy organization that advocates against things, but an advocacy organization that proposes concrete solutions. Recently, I was reading a book by John Stonestreet. Some of our listeners might have heard of him, and he wrote a book called Restoring All Things, and in it, he quotes Dwight Moody, a 19th century preacher, who says, "The best way to show that a stick is crooked is not to argue about it or spend time denouncing it, but to simply lay a straight stick alongside it." And I think here of someone like Brad Wall, who continually is criticizing the carbon tax, but at the same time, is proposing a carbon capture technology. So we have to take that approach, that we're not just criticizing some of the public policy that's being put forward by a liberal government or by secular humanists, but we need to lay that straight stick alongside it, and that's the truth as it is applied to the issues that we're heavily involved in.
All right, guys, thank you very much for this. Much appreciated. Have a great Christmas and a blessed new year. We'll talk to you all in 2017.
Thanks, Al.
Thanks, you too.
Yeah, thank you, Al.
And just a programming note to close, Lighthouse News taking a few weeks off for the Christmas and New Year's break. Our next program due to be posted online, Lord willing, January 10th.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next month for another edition of Lighthouse News.